you meet with me. And I advise those who have cushions with them to position them and settle. That passage terrified me as a young boy in our local parish church in Cork. It petrified me for the significant years of my life and drove me into Anglicanism. I thought I had avoided this passage when I sent the list of my availabilities to proposals for preaching to Nathaniel, thinking we would discuss them. And then he sent an email to me, and of course, you're preaching next Sunday. I would have avoided this text like a plague. But there is disturbance in it, and if there's fear in it, it's because of ourselves, not because of God. So here we go. In the film The Matrix, keep that in mind and go to YouTube and look at it. In the film The Matrix, Morpheus says, "The Matrix is everywhere. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you to the truth." The Matrix is everywhere. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you to the truth. Wow. It was the key. It is this, or deceiving matrix, that Christ has come to liberate us from. He says, "Abide in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from that which is not true. Free from blindness of mind and spirit. Free from being entangled in the spiritual confusions connected with deceits associated with the realm of global disinformation and misinformation. Jesus is the way. Involving the Holy Spirit of Christ in our lives is vital, for he gifts us with a spirit of discernment, which sharpens our spiritual awareness and judgment. The penetrating light of Christ's Spirit of Truth shatters deceits and reveals the original, foundational, toxic lie, which has distorted all humanity's perceptions of God. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, comes to restore God's given freedom. Our birthright of freedom was stolen and hidden from our souls by the enemy of all that is good and holy. He absorbed us in his matrix world of illusion and distractions. Through Christ's indwelling spirit, we now rise up, journey, and return to who we were meant to be. We rise up and we journey. No instant fix in some respects, and in another respect, instant fix. Just in case you're confused, Christianity is full of paradox. through grace, we change from glory into glory, no longer conforming to this world, no longer solely led by its superficial values and customs, but are being transformed, progressively changing as we mature spiritually in Christ with the revolutionary renewing of our minds as we seek out what the perfect will of God is for us. I will repeat it. You can sense St. Paul in that, but I was moved to embellish it somewhat, but staying within it. Through grace, we are changed from glory into glory, no longer conforming to this world. Christ changes things. No longer solely led by its superficial values and customs. We are being transformed. Yes, we were born again. But it's also progressive. The sanctification process. We are being transformed, progressively changing. As we mature spiritually, we grow in Christ, putting on the mind of Christ with the revolutionary renewing of our mind. These aren't pious things. These are realities. Not sweet spiritual words. This is the journey. This is the wrestle. This is the battle. Because we are returning to the rock from whence we were hewn. Renewing our minds as we seek out, work out your own salvation with the perfect will of God for each and every one of us. This is where our dramatic gospel reading is at in our pilgrimage. The time of our Father's completing his promised restoration and of his creation draws near. The prayers of generations of believers are being acted upon. Thy kingdom come. It is. Thy will be done. It will. Deliver us from evil. It is done and it will be done. In our world, the serpent, the arch influencer, I will repeat that. In our world, the serpent, the arch influencer, that is the new term, I liked it. The arch influencer planted the foundational lie into humanity to diminish us and to humiliate us. The foundational lie? If you eat the fruit, you will not surely die. If you eat the forbidden, do the forbidden. No, it's okay. It's free expression. You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Fabulous. New horizons. And you will be like God, knowing, virtue signaling, knowing good and evil. Not necessarily knowing good from evil. The influencer influenced our forebearers to believe that God was not all loving, all powerful, all truthful as they had thought. The influencer suggested that God had fooled them. Duped them, duped us. In telling them that eating the forbidden fruit would bring death.
He lied. He fooled us. Eating the forbidden fruit does bring death. Did bring death. We fell for it and ate. And spiritually speaking, blinded ourselves. They blinded themselves, blinded their understanding to what the true person of God is. For it is impossible. And this is important for us. This is something I wrestled with myself, because I was brought up in a certain way that I had a blinkered view. I lived with a lie about God as a child, as a young adult. For it is impossible to have a wrong view about God and have a consistently right view of everything else regarding life, living, and morality. It's like you don't lay the foundation of a house correctly. If it's off, the building will be off. If we don't have a true sense, living reality of God, we will be somewhat off. Thank goodness for forgiveness. So, as I said, it is impossible to have a wrong view about God and have a consistently right view of everything else regarding life and living in this world. Humanity's history is unfolding and rolling out. Humanity's history is the unfolding and the rolling out of the consequences of us ingesting and believing a lie about God. Since then, humanity, in Paul's words, sees but through a glass darkly. Not clear. It's foggy, it's misty. The lens isn't focused. We ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and blinded ourselves to the all-important and most wonderful aspect of the true world. Because we cannot see that perfect love is the reason for all creation. That was the reason. God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, says Genesis, it was very good. The eternal light of his countenance did not dim towards us. But in swallowing and ingesting the toxicity of Satan's foundational lie, we became blinded, helpless, fallen, and lost. We forfeited ability to perceive the living, loving radiance of his countenance. Paradise was lost. And so were we. In believing a lie about the nature of God, we created a false God, a fake God, no longer knowing him as he truly is. And Satan's lie blinkered our vision and distorted our knowing. We lost our intimate contact with the source of eternal life-giving love. The life-giving love of God, our Creator. And the result? Isaiah. God help us. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. I love Isaiah. He shakes you. He cuts you, and then he bandages you. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, us, and his glory shall be seen upon us, thee. Because God is true, God is love, God is faithful to his word regardless of our unfaithfulness to our word. He remembers and forgives. He remembers and loves. He remembers saying, what did he say? He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, that's the only time it comes, it was very good. Wow. No victims here. This is the rock from whence we are hewn. This is our DNA. Our Creator never forgot us. He incarnated himself and suffered to be our warrior and champion, our second Adam, Jesus, our Savior. God, who at sundry times and in diver manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he has in these latter days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Today's reading by Ted of the prophet Jeremiah, we heard the rumbling thunder of great change. If not in the near distance, certainly on a near horizon. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up of David. He shall execute judgment and righteousness. The returning Christ has business to complete. He is no longer the suffering servant of Isaiah. The ascended Christ is King. In him, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. As Jeremiah says, the Lord is our righteousness. And that's what we hold on to, folks. The Lord is. Thank God he is. Thank God he is. Christ return with all his saints is imminent, and we, our generation of believers, may be entering into laboring birth pangs. The kingdom of God and of his Christ is birthing, though the exact day and time only the Father knows. The whole cosmos waits in expectation. So, by way of conclusion, I get to the gospel passage. Because I was more interested not going to the drama of the people will faint. Now, Jesus alerts us. Just like he alerted the people in prophecy, and the early believers got out of Jerusalem before the Romans sealed it. And they got out and they went around the world. We're forewarned, so we are forearmed. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. People, we are more than people. We are family. We are Christ's family. We are not just people. Then they will see horror. We should not see horror when they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We should be relieved.
Rejoicing.
With power and great glory. Now, folks, when these things begin, look at our body posture. Look at our instruction from Christ. Stand up and raise your heads. That is also a position of prayer. A position of praise. We're not to cower. A birth is taking place. These are just the labor pains. Okay, things are not comfortable. What mother has given birth, who would say it was comfortable? Warning, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down. Watch it. Be on guard. Be awake. That your hearts are not weighed down. Interesting, these are not the greatest of sins, dissipation and drunkenness, having waltzed through a few. Dissipation and drunkenness, the one thing they have in common is they block our perceptions. They blur our minds. They blur our visions. They blur our judgments. They blur our awareness. Be alert. Be on the guard. So that your hearts are not weighed down with being out of condition spiritually. And also by all that's happening around. All the worries of this life. And being caught up and dissipated and blurred and hung over. Make sure that that day doesn't catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Be alert at all times. And the key word, praying. Praying that you may have the strength to escape. Now, folks, while the time is here now, while we have time, strengthen, do a workout on prayer. Get the body, the spiritual body, in shape. So that you're in form, you're in condition, you're not suddenly discovering, how do I pray? Do the training now. The Holy Spirit is right beside you. He is your personal trainer. That you may have strength to escape when all these things will take place, so that you can stand before the Son of Man. My acid test about standing before the Lord Jesus, and my acid test for my conscience is I imagine, can I look him in the face? Eye to eye. Eye to eye. No shying away out of guilt or lingering conscience. So we can pray, so we can stand before. And remember, always remember the Holy Spirit, your personal trainer. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. Now, today's a celebration day. I haven't finished, by the way. It's a celebration day. There are no church wardens here. So, I'm not under the watch, the timers. So, I had this feeling. We need an anthem for the coming years. We have the wars, the rumors of war, Syria at the moment now. And the new year, the church's new year, and we're heading into a very fascinating 2025. So we need an anthem for the turmoils. And I'm commending to you, in the name of the Lord, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. It captures it, and it shows us what to do and how to function. And I know I could have alerted folks in the choir, and I didn't. But I'm going to finish with singing Psalm 42 to you. If you know it, join in. But I want you to listen to it. I'm doing the Anglican chant. Because this will stand to us in our trials. God is our hope and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the hills be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof rage and swell, and though the mountains shake at the tempest of the same, the rivers of the flood thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most Highest. God is in the midst of her, therefore shall she not be removed. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen make much ado, and the kingdoms are moved. But God hath showed his voice, and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. O come hither and behold the works of the Lord, what destruction he hath wrought upon the earth. He maketh wars to cease in all the world. He breaketh the bow and nappeth the spear in sunder, and burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See? We are victors. We are not victims. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.